Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. As you know, this is a very special episode. We're both at the 2-year anniversary and the 100th podcast episode. And what a milestone. I'm even surprised and shocked at how much content I've been able to put out into the world through this podcast. And I'm very grateful and humbled and honored that I get to do that. But to celebrate this special episode, I wanted to bring in some amazing women around the world who have really been doing this inner journey and work with their nervous system. And I invited these three because they are both so unique and different from each other. And yet they've all had incredible shifts and insights as they have learned about their nervous system and learned how to work with it, develop a very different relationship with their body, and have tools for repair that has allowed them to experience more regulation in their life. And we're gonna hear about how that's opened things up for them. I wanna start with saying that we're just gonna dive into stories today and stories of hard times and how those led to stories of hope, where the future looks bright. The future looks like possibilities because of the insights and the relationship and the tools that we have with our body. I want to invite each of them to introduce themselves and say who you are, where you are in the world, and then we'll dive into what brought you, first of all, to this work of even wanting to understand your nervous system on a deeper level. Sherry, let's start with you.
Yeah, my name is Sherry Marinovich, and I am actually located in Southern California, where I currently work as a clinical psychologist, and I actually focus on working with those who have chronic illnesses and chronic pain. So lovely that I can use this not just on myself.
Alexia.
Hi, my name is Alexia. I live in South America, Lima, Peru. I am an early childhood specialist, development specialist, and I work with little babies and their families. And since May, I've been working with adults.
And Trisha.
I'm Trisha Borgo, and I live in Orange County, California, and I am a leadership coach and a resilience specialist working with adults.
Trisha, let's start with you. And as you look back on your life before you understand or even came across biology of trauma, what was going on in your life?
I was born with scoliosis. So when I was 13, I was put in a body brace for 3 years. So I wore a full brace to treat my scoliosis. I mean, even while I was in that, I came from a very active family where we used our bodies to interact with the world. We did a lot of activities, a lot of sports. And even in the brace, I was a cheerleader. It did not stop me. But what I realize now, what happened to me in that point in time is that brace disconnected me from my body. It was so uncomfortable that in order to get through the day, I would have to just take my mind off of it. I'd have to avoid my body. And I did well with it. As I said, I still was very active, but part of me shut down. And it was that part of being connected to the sensations in my body. I mean, I could feel from my hips down and from my head up, but in between, I just went numb. So that set the stage for later on in my life and why I found biology of trauma is I had an injury to my spine. The brace was great, worked on the brace, got it off when I was 16, that was fine, but I had this injury. I didn't just have one, I had two within the same year. And it brought up, threw me into chronic pain, but it brought up the trauma that I had never confronted, that I was in this rigid posture for those 3 years of growth. And when I came into the biology of trauma, I did not realize I had created my own rigidity. I'll say I just was rigid. I was disconnected, trying to maintain, again, separation from my body. When I was so much in pain, I had chronic pain. But I think a lot of that I was adding to myself with my trauma that I hadn't worked out from when I was younger. And so coming into a place where like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to feel my body. Oh, heavens, what? What is that sensation? What is it? Okay, yeah, you're hurting now. Okay, you're hurting. That part's a little tender, and really learning how to love my body through somatic work. My goodness, like I didn't have to disconnect. I could acknowledge it. And then that helped me acknowledge so much of the emotional stuff. Like I could mourn, and I can feel the emotion coming out now. I could mourn for those 3 years as a teenage girl, going to school, having to wear special clothing, having people stare at me, and I'm thinking, why are you staring at me? And then I'm like, oh, because I have this big thing that I'm so rigid in. But I felt like coming into somatic work and the biology of trauma really helped me start to release the emotional bracing, that's the word I'm looking for, the emotional bracing that I had continued. So I wasn't just holding on to my body and bracing, I was holding on to emotion. And all the other things, I'd just gone through a divorce, my mother had passed, my sister had passed, all these things happened to me in my adult life before I came to the biology of trauma. But it was sitting on top of all this other stuff that happened to me. And so it just compounded into what I would call becoming one with the bed. I was so avoidant. I just became one with my bed, and I didn't get out of bed for about 3 years. I was in bed for most of every day. And so that's where I knew I could not survive my life in this position. I knew I had to find something. I knew there was something out there. This was not a way to live. And I went on my own hunt of healing.
But it sounds like it was that combination of both too little for too long and too much too fast that landed you in bed with pain, with fatigue. And the significance of that to you was you felt like you were losing your health and losing your life, and it came to a critical moment for you.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's very well said. Yeah.
Alexia, what was going on in your life before even ever hearing about the biology of trauma? Tell us about your history and life experiences.
Before I even heard of the biology of trauma, I was in the pandemic, being diagnosed with tachycardia and POTS. Like, it was like, I didn't even know what was that. So my heart rate was like, I could not change positions without having my heart rate going up, and I didn't got to faint, but it was very, very uncomfortable for me. The doctor gave me some pills, and I said, I don't get this. Why? I was right. I was well. And I was, it was like the 20, the 21, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So I said, well, this is too much. Something is going on that I'm not understanding, and I want to. So I began to, so my first motive for searching the biology of trauma was health. So I'm not getting something. When I was little, some doctors told me about the autonomous nervous system. So I got that. And that I was like searching autonomous nervous system, health, biology. And I found your summit with this, like, oh, so I am in sympathetic state all of my entire life. And also I found that I was like going to functional freeze as well. And like going up from one to another, And I remember I hate pills. I hate taking medicine. I'm like more natural thing. So all my search was, I have to understand what's going on with my body. And I have to give my body what it's needing, and I'm not getting, I don't have the information I need. So with the summit, and then I said, oh my God, this is the missing piece. So I began like doing all your courses, all everything, and I got to manage and take out my pills.
Sherry, what was going on with your life? What were the life experiences that you had that you look back and were significant in leading you to a critical point where something had to change?
Yeah, at that time in my life when I found the biology of trauma, I found the summit as well as others. I found myself back into the same pattern that I'd seen over and over since being a very little girl. This pattern of I was sick, something was wrong, I was in pain, I didn't have any energy, I couldn't be in the world in any way that other people understood for some reason, or I felt that they couldn't see me, they couldn't hear me. What now I know what that was, I didn't at the time. And then somebody, oh, here's what's going on, or you're fine, you're just dramatic, right? As years went on, that looked different over time. And I would get better for a while. And it was okay. It was all good. So then I would go all in and do it all, do all the things, and then crash. So 2014 found me back in that again after different diagnoses over the years, being told you have MS, but 3 or 4 spinal taps later, no, actually you don't, type of, you know, that. Nobody really listens to you, spending tens and thousands of dollars on go to the kinesiologist, go to this chiropractor, try this supplement. And nobody understanding what was happening. So maybe I was crazy at some points. And in 2014, found myself feeling really well, went back to school, got my doctorate, got into my internship, and crashed again. And so I know stuff, I'm smart. And just found myself back in that pattern again. And when I found the biology of Trauma Summit, and I was watching it, and I went, oh, so what goes on inside of my body affects all of this stuff I went to school for and got this degree for, and all of that stuff I went to school for affects things like how my stomach works. Like, really? And so that's where I was. I was like at this point of just like, here we go again. So I'm going to go ahead and pay for this 21-day journey. All right, wants some more money. It's just more money, but I'm like going to keep trying, I guess. And that's where I was. I was just like, it's kind of like, all right, I'll try this one. Why not? And it's been different, not the same experience that I've had before.
You know, it's interesting that you had your crash again after you got your doctorate, felt well for a while. And I had that very similar experience. I'm a physician, and yet my body's crashing and I don't have answers. And if I don't have answers, where is there anyone that can help me understand my body? So let's transition into the next thing that happened then, which is you start learning about your body. You start learning about your nervous system. You learn this word dysregulation. And in the biology of trauma, we have a lot of concepts that help us understand what's going on, why this has even happened to us, and repair tools that we can use. And so as you look back at all of the things that you've learned about your nervous system and your body and this biology of trauma, what have been some really important concepts or insights for you that were significant for you?
there's two things that have been really big insights for me through this that I think that are, that have really shifted my relationship with my body and my nervous system. And I think the first part is this understanding of my biology. And I'm going to say my biology because I'm learning more and more it's about my biology and how important that is. And for me to understand it just now, just getting labs back just last week, I'm like, I am an undermethylator. I knew it, but now I know it, right? And what does that really mean? Okay, well, yeah, 40% of people with depression are undermethylators. I've had that diagnosis since I was, you know, 17 years old. Here we go, right? Validation, right? It's not just that I don't know how to cope with the world or that, you know, it's not just one thing. There's actually something biologically going on with me. It's huge. It's a huge thing for me. And finding out I don't have a copper excess, which I was shocked by. Like, oh, what does that even mean? What do I do with that? I haven't quite got there yet. But just understanding this is so big. And then the second part is more that somatic piece. And it's so simple and it's magical. And that's the pause. I never paused. Ever. I would react all the time. Those are the two things for me. If nothing else, that's life-changing.
So. Alexia, as you look over the biology of trauma concepts and all the things that we do between parts work, somatic work, biology work, what are a few of the ones that have been the most significant for you?
For me, I think that the most significant pieces of the biology of trauma is getting these three pieces together, this part works, this biology and the somatic, because at one point of my life, I was like, okay, let's found in the more scientific part, but there were not all the answers. And then, okay, let's switch and let go to this like more, I don't know, more like esoteric or mindfulness or whatever, like, okay, no. So where is that place where everything goes together? And I found that in the biology of trauma, that the biology piece, it's about my body. And okay, I understand that. And I have this parts work. Okay, it's talking to my psychology part. I've done... like 18 years of psychotherapy, because I knew everything. Yeah, this, I got it, everything mapped. But I needed something, like I need something. I'm having this missing piece. It's not like I felt like a hamster in the wheel. And yeah, I know it, but I had this like, misinformation, no? So the biology, the parts work, and then the somatic. And as Sherry said, it looks so simple, yet so powerful. And that pause, the pauses. And I remember the very first time I did the boo, I got so much anxiety. And then I realized and got tachycardia, like, whoa. And then I realize, oh, I'm not used to calm. My nervous system is not used to being in a calm place. And that was the very first time that I realized that, oh, I'm most of my time in this like very in alert state. So getting these all three together, it was such a relief for my spirit, my heart, my mind, because I have like, I'm very academic, I'm very like spiritual. So I got it. Oh, I have an answer for all my parts.
You know, there's a lot of other people that also describe that when they start feeling calm, when they start feeling safe for the first time, that there's so much anxiety that surfaces. For others, it's grief that starts to surface. They didn't realize how much their body has been holding because they've been so good at shoving it down and numbing it, distracting themselves, avoiding it. And so for you to realize that I get more anxious with calm.
Yes. And a South American woman, that we have some things here. Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you. Tricia, as you look at how you started learning all about your nervous system and your inner states, what were some of the really helpful concepts from all that you were learning that really helped make those insights become real for you?
One of the things that was so helpful for me was languaging. Learning a new language for my body. I had been what I would have called hypervigilant, looking for what might hurt me. Or I was just shut down in the bed. It was too much. I was overwhelmed. But the language that I learned was, no, I'm in sympathetic. There's something going on here. This is my sympathetic nervous system kicking in. And I loved that because it wasn't anxiety. It didn't have a label. It's just like, no, this is the physiology that's going on in my body. Okay. And it opened me up to being able to learn about it and become friends with it. And the same for the opposite. When I was overwhelmed and I needed to check out, I knew that there was nothing wrong with me. I think before I didn't have words for it. I felt like something was terribly wrong with me. Like I was so defective. My system, why were other people just humming along? And I'm either hypervigilant or I am in la la land. You know, those two, cycling through those two. And so learning words for that helped me forge a relationship with my body in that way. And another thing too that it's been incredibly powerful for me is learning about my biology and learning that I have some genetic things that are connected to the scoliosis that are me. They're just me. And really taking a strong look at all of that has made me a better advocate for myself with my doctors. I have different conversations with them now than I had before. I ask different questions now than I did before. And it's amazing the type of providers that I'm able to find and keep that can have those kind of conversations and can recognize and honor that I know myself better than anybody else. I've lived in this body. So that has been empowering, very, very empowering. I had a little bit of biology in college for a couple years, my biosciences. So I had an ability to pick it up. And I learned more than I ever thought I would in the biology of trauma. So that was super powerful. But also, I feel like I was living as a jigsaw puzzle. Like I had all these pieces floating around that didn't seem related at all. And what I've learned in the biology of trauma is they're all related and they all make a picture. And so I've been able to look at each piece and go, oh, that's why you do this. Okay. I get it. That's when my breath is short and I can't talk or my throat is so tight. Okay, that's sympathetic. That's where I am. What does that mean? So finding each of these pieces and the parts work, well, that's been big for me. But the biology is connected to all of these for me, the biology, the physiology, understanding all of that. And the parts work was just the capstone. It was the capstone for me.
What a beautiful expression of the change that you've experienced with the relationship with your body. And a trap that many people get into is that they learn information, but they're not able to translate that into change in their life. And that has not been the case for you. You've had all these really awesome insights. You've learned a lot, and you've been able to make some incredible shifts in your life, your health, relationships, including the relationship with yourself. So as you look back over the changes that have happened, can you share two or three with us that have really meant a lot to you?
Ooh, the first change is acceptance of myself, not needing anybody else's acceptance of me or of approval, my acceptance of me. I think that's the number one thing for me.
Yeah, I think the most significant shifts, the first one that comes to my mind is around boundaries and having enough agency to set boundaries without fear of what that will mean. And those boundaries are around my nervous system. They are around my health and what I truly need. And not waiting till it gets to that, you know, explosion. And so setting the boundaries in a healthy way without fear of loss. My second one is understanding how important connection is for me, but it has to be the right people, my tribe. and I'm beginning to actually find one. Never had a tribe. And so I'm just now beginning to find that, but knowing how much I need that, I can't exist without that. And admitting that I'm not an island. I'm not on my own in this world. I don't have to be. I don't have to carry everyone, and someone else can carry me sometimes. But it has to be the right people, the people that are part of my tribe. And I guess that leads me to the third one, which is just hope. I never, ever, people say, what are you going to be when you grow up? What do you envision your life like? I never had anything because I never saw a future. There was never that, you know, oh, when I get old, grow old and that, no, I couldn't answer that question. And so now, at 53 years old, I'm like, okay, so when I do grow up, this is what my future is going to look like. And I can see that for the first time. That's big for me to have hope and to actually see something beyond.
Gives me goosebumps. That's pretty powerful. And I remember that same shift happening for me and the significance for me as well, for the first time actually seeing that I could have a future that I could show up for. Mm. Alexia, what have been a few of the most significant shifts for you?
Okay, so if I had to choose the three most significant shifts for me, I will go for the first one was to understand the freeze, the trauma, and the stress response. And this was like last week. I don't want to get like too much story, but we had a fire near our building. So we had to evacuate. It was a lot of, it was terrible. And I was with my daughters, but I could, like, I am in stress response. I have to take care of this situation. I have to take action. And I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, okay. And this is happening to your body. So understanding and having this relationship with my body in that huge, like, stressful situation, it was like, oh, because I think if I didn't have all the information, I would have crashed. And knowing what was going on with my body and the body of my girls and supporting them, I was like, oh, thank you. And at one point, one of my daughters said when everything passed and it was like 2 hours, and I said, okay. So a part of me wanted to, okay, it's done. So let's continue into our day. And I said, no. I have to take care of myself to rest and support and complete my stress response cycle. And we were like that. And one of my girls said, Mom, I feel like I'm fainting and everything is like shutting down. And imagine, I was like, okay, if I didn't have this information, I will have freaked if my daughter said that to myself. And I said, oh, the freeze response. It's okay. But I think I'm going to die. I know it feels like that, but you won't. Trust me. I am here. You will be like, oh, you will be all right. And I'll be here to support you. So I can say that is like, oh, huge, because it's the difference between trauma and stress. So I can stay with that as the first one. The second one will be the pause. And with that comes the compassion to me and to know that I can go as fast as my slowest part. And that is a huge shift for me, because I was like always like, okay, what's next? Not pausing and having like knowing my own rhythms and what I need and hearing my body and okay, now it's time for rest and I need that rest and support. It's huge. And I think that has led me to the third one, that for example, if this podcast was meant like 1 year ago, I won't have been able to be here, because I was like, breathe myself and not even talk. So the third word for me would have, it's expansion. A little bit, not too much yet. But expansion, and yes, it's like, okay, I want to show up and be present. And yeah, this is me. This is my true self. And I can, and I enjoy life. And with that, I remember that the very first time I did the parts work, I had a bunch of parts, all like the ones that I didn't like. And I had like one or two, like, meh. So-and-so. And now I have this like colorful and bright bus, and with all my parts and the other parts that I don't like much, but I'm like watching them like, oh, I see you and I know and thank you, with a lot of compassion. So yes, thank you.
I again want to thank each of you so much for coming and sharing your insights, being willing to be very brave and sharing some hard moments of your life and things that not everyone in your life has seen, and yet knowing that it might help someone else, been willing to share those. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. You know, I first published my podcast on my birthday, December 9 in 2022, and this is a very special episode with it being 100. And I just want to point out that episodes 1 and 2 really reflect the bigger picture of what is the significance of biology of trauma. Episode 1 and 2 were released at the same time. Episode 1 is with Dr. Peter Levine on somatic work, with a story of someone who was going through breast cancer treatment as she started somatic work. And then episode 2, also published on my birthday, was Dr. Peter Kahn and talking about brain inflammation, again with another story woven through of how brain inflammation had been holding someone back in their trauma therapy for years because she didn't realize that that was a factor. So if you're interested in learning more about the biology of trauma science and how that changes our understanding of stored trauma in the body and our approach to safely releasing it, I have lots of resources for you. You can go to the biologyoftrauma.com website. I have information there, including a free 3-video series to walk you through the big picture of the science.
But then you can also start with something small, like my essential sequence guide, and I'll have a link for that in the show notes. The three sequential steps to safely addressing stored trauma in the body. I also have a few podcast episodes I'd like to share with you. These have been the most popular, and episode 57 was on the adverse childhood experiences and how the body holds and hides pain with Dr. Vincent Folletti. Episode 64 was on parts work and trauma. Are the trauma parts of you keeping you sick with Dr. Dick Schwartz? And episode 66 was with Dr. Gabor Mate, the biology piece we have missed in trauma and depression. Again, I've got some YouTube videos if you're interested in looking at the science of the biology of trauma. These are the most popular YouTube videos on the topic. I have a link to the two things your body needs to come out of the freeze, Beyond Talk Therapy, the biochemical basis of behavior and changing our responses, and then the neuroscience of chronic pain, how our brain predicts and creates a biology of pain. With that, I know that you heard mentioned the foundational journey, so I will have a link for that if you are actually ready to start doing something, and this is where you would start. You would start by laying the foundation of regulation, going on a journey into your inner world, learning about your nervous system, and developing the skills to shift your nervous system. This will be for both if you are here to help yourself and if you are a practitioner interested in the Biology of Trauma Certificate training. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you on your healing journey. So take a moment, subscribe, leave a review. Your reviews and feedback are how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help you find more information that will change your life. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.